Welcome back, listener. Today we're taking a deep dive into something that really makes you think about our roles in the community.
It does.
And you sent this in.
Yeah, this is a listener request.
This is from William Graham Sumner, his essay, What Social Classes Owe to Each Other.
Big one.
Yeah, big one. Big ideas about societal responsibility, wealth, poverty, and individual liberty.
So relevant. Yeah. Sumner was writing in the late 19th century, but his ideas really still resonate today, especially when we think about things like wealth inequality and, you know, the role of government. And what's fascinating is he really challenges some common assumptions, like, you know, he questions whether the wealthy are inherently obligated to help the less fortunate.
That's a big one.
Yeah, he doesn't just accept that idea. He really digs into it.
He really digs into it and goes even further. And he questions even the definition of what is a poor man, you know?
Yeah, like who
fits into that?
Exactly. And what are we even talking about when we use these broad categories like that? He argues that can really distort our understanding of social issues.
So he's pushing us to look beyond labels and recognize the complexity of individual circumstances.
Yeah.
And he also makes a crucial distinction between the hardships that are just natural, you know, that's just part of life,
mm-hmm.
versus the hardships that are caused by human institutions.
Yeah, that's a really helpful distinction, I think, especially when we think about the challenges we see in our own communities, like here in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena. Are we talking about an individual struggling, or are we looking at a systemic issue?
Right, and it's a key question to ask, right, for anybody who wants to really, you know, get in there and make a difference.
Absolutely.
So how does Sumner approach this idea of helping others?
So Sumner was a really strong advocate for individual liberty and personal responsibility. So he envisioned a society where people are empowered to take care of themselves rather than relying on handouts.
Okay, so like teaching a man to fish instead of giving him a fish, kind of.
Exactly. That's a great analogy. So he believed that true progress comes from fostering self-reliance.
That's a powerful idea and something I think resonates a lot in our community when we think about, you know, the initiatives that are going on that are trying to empower residents and really build a stronger community.
Absolutely.
So where does capital fit into all of this?
So his perspective on capital is fascinating. He saw it as more than just money. It's the engine of progress, right? It's fueled by accumulated labor and innovation.
Right.
Think about, you know, inventions like the automobile transformed our communities.
Right.
And that's not just about wealth. That was about creating new industries, new jobs, new opportunities.
It's about building something.
Exactly. And so he really believed that limiting wealth accumulation could actually hinder progress for everyone.
Okay, so he's not advocating for unchecked greed.
Right.
But he's highlighting the importance of a system that rewards hard work and ingenuity.
Yeah.
Those who are thinking and acting locally.
Exactly.
He probably saw that as the best way to ensure prosperity, not just for a select few, but for the entire community.
Yeah, it's that rising tide lifts all boats kind of mentality. And that brings us to one of Sumner's most compelling ideas.
Okay.
The Forgotten Man.
The Forgotten Man. I like it. Tell me more.
So he uses this term to describe the hardworking, self-reliant individual who often gets overlooked, you know, in social programs or policies that are designed to help others.
Right.
And they kind of end up bearing the burden of these well-intentioned efforts.
I feel like a lot of people in our community can relate to that idea, especially, you know, small business owners who are just working so hard to make ends meet and contribute
Absolutely.
To the local economy.
Yeah, he would argue that we need to consider the unintended consequences
Right.
of our actions. And he gives this example of like taxes on everyday goods like thread.
Okay.
Which might seem insignificant, but for a working woman who's, you know, relying on that thread to make a living, it's a real burden.
Right. It's like this ripple effect, you know?
Exactly.
What seems like a small policy can have a big impact on those who are already struggling.
Yeah, and this concern about unintended consequences, it ties into his critique of what he calls jobbery.
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 What is that?
So this refers to schemes that are designed to extract wealth through political manipulation rather than honest work.
Okay.
Right? So it's about using the system to benefit a select few at the expense of the many.
So are we talking about like corruption, favoritism, backroom seals?
Precisely. And, you know, he was writing in the late 1800s, but these concerns are still so relevant today.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, think about the debates we have here in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena about zoning laws or development projects.
Right, right.
You know how city funds are allocated? These are all areas where jobbery can occur.
It's about making sure that things are done above board and there's transparency and accountability.
Accountability, exactly.
In local government, and decisions are being made in the best interest of the entire community.
Yes. And he has a solution for this.
Okay, I'm ready. Lay it on me.
Sumner was a firm believer in laissez-faire.
Laissez-faire.
Which is French for let it be or hands off.
Okay.
So he advocated for a limited role of government, believing that individuals should be free to pursue their own interests without unnecessary interference.
I could see how that would appeal to people, you know, who believe in individual liberty and limited government.
Absolutely.
Especially those who are trying to, you know, build businesses and create opportunities here in the community. But does that mean that he was against all forms of help, like any kind of social programs?
He wasn't necessarily against all social programs. He did recognize the importance of aiding those in genuine distress, you know, those facing hardships that they couldn't overcome on their own.
So there's room for compassion and support in his worldview.
Absolutely. But he emphasized that this help should be offered through voluntary action, you know, like individuals choosing to help their neighbors or support local charities rather than through government mandates or this forced redistribution of wealth. He really believed in empowering people to help themselves and each other through voluntary cooperation.
It sounds like he really had a lot of respect for the power of communities to take care of their own.
Yeah, he really saw local voluntary initiatives as a more effective and sustainable way to address social challenges. You know, he believed that people closer to the problems are often better equipped to understand and solve them.
It's about empowering residents to think and act locally.
Exactly.
Which is what we're all about here.
That's what we're trying to do.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Sumner's ideas, what are some key takeaways for our listeners, you know, here in Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena?
Well, I think Sumner really challenges us to think critically about societal responsibility and the role of government. He reminds us that, you know, good intentions don't always lead to the best outcomes.
Right.
And that sometimes the most effective solutions come from the ground up, not the top down.
He encourages us to think about those unintended consequences, you know, of policies and recognize the importance of individual liberty and personal responsibility. But he also acknowledges the role of compassion.
Yeah.
And the power of voluntary action to help those in genuine need.
Absolutely. His work really offers a framework for thinking about how we can create thriving communities where individuals are empowered to succeed and contribute to the common good.
It's a call to action for all of us to think about our roles as citizens and how we can make a positive impact, you know, right here in our own neighborhoods. So where do you see examples of the forgotten man in our community today? What local challenges could be addressed through voluntary action and community initiatives? How can we, as residents of Deer Park, La Porte, and Pasadena, work together to create a more prosperous and just society for everyone?
Those are questions worth pondering as we navigate the complexities of our modern world.
Food for thought, listeners, as we wrap up this deep dive, if you found value in our exploration of these ideas, please consider supporting Think and Act Locally at thinkandactlocally.com/donate. You'll find the link in our show notes. We'll be back next week with another deep dive. Until then, keep thinking and acting locally.